In the Moonless Valley, there is a garden that you and the other students have been tending. It contains precious plants that grow only in places untouched by the moon. They're all night blooming, and in perfect darkness they project their purple light around them into the grove where you have placed them. The grove is actually an expansion of the path. You can't go off the path in the Moonless Valley, in the Moonless Woods, where every single thing is likely to set you up for an arousing time that you might or might not remember. Off the path are no dangers to your life, just to, well, your timing and your schedule. Because quite frankly, everything here is alluring, sensual, and some things are more ancient than others. Some things wait and watch, and many wield magics of their own. So instead of going off the path, you've very deliberately made something on the path, expanding an existing clearing so that it can be a place where you're able to place your plants and have them not be a problem, not be taken or eaten by anything locally, not be harvested by anyone for their own ritual purposes. The path is safe. Or at least it had been until tonight. The heavy sack on your back is more than suitable to carry tonight's cuttings. The air ahead of you is lit by magical lighting that flows from the dirt path itself. And you see that one of the garden beds has been despoiled. Something has taken from it. And here, nearby, there is a mark, a circular diagram laid out in detail. It is blazoned with a symbol of draining. Whatever is taking your plants is also sucking the innate growth magic that all of you have put in here. This is a group project for extra credit, with many of the alchemy professors giving you extra marks for showing up with rare finds they themselves don't even know the origin of, a well-kept secret, and warded against intruders. But here, someone has been strong enough to enter, and taken just a little bit, and then placed a siphoning sigil to make your fertilization efforts less effective in future. You recognize the diagram as one that hides itself, so it is highly likely that if you had come on any other day, at any other time, you would not have found it and would have wasted a lot of effort over the coming months, and whatever did this might come back. You need to go identify it so that you could scan for its marks in future. Or possibly so you can put an end to it, depending on where the creature in question falls on the various scales and treaties. In short, on whether it's supposed to be in these woods in the first place. It doesn't really take you much time at all to locate the source of this despoiling. You shoulder your backpack, which carries your protective charms to insulate you against anything that might befall you in the forest, and turn yourself toward the single path that leads on to the east. And you see there, at the far end, the cause of this mischief in your garden. The figure ahead of you is wearing a beautiful dress. That's the first thing you notice. Not fangs or claws, not the wolf grin, not the leaves adorning its shoulders, which you're not entirely sure are a cloak, for the branches, no, vines, which feed into them, are moving on their own. The dress is white, and is the only bright thing in this place, this moonless place beyond. The halo and corona of light around it pulls your gaze, beckons to you, potent, powerful, otherworldly. Nearer. Just a little nearer. We are both nearer, both closer, but we could be closer together and nearer in thought, nearer in purpose. There is a purpose, there is a plan. Come see my purpose, come be my plan. It's like that, a constant sing-song patter. Not with her mouth, because you can see her mouth isn't moving, even with your eyes half-lidding and glazing over. Instead, whatever she is projecting is a harmonic, internalized, ever-cyclical, pausing just so, continuing just so, message right into your nervous system. You let it float you away, drifting on its intent. So much so, fascinated, you notice there's a path underneath the floating figure, a path which winds away, but a path nonetheless, and any path in these woods is mostly protected against trouble. It must needs be careful to do so. Not it. She. She, a gorgeous she, closer, yes. Did she say something about closeness? Did she say it on purpose? Purpose. You are so focused on making conclusions about your quarry that you step in something warm and potent. A circle. One of the circles you've been following so far. You realize you can see them, but based on the slow way she's drifting along, maybe your quarry cannot. It's only when the trap takes hold of you that you realize, despite being captivated by the figure, you couldn't say anything other than that it was a vaguely feminine and very beautiful figure, nothing about its nature, no specific feature, a complete lack of details, drawing you in nonetheless. The muzzy, fuzzy contact high, just to think of her, her. Herself, resonant, radiant lady of this wood, of this forest, you have thoughts about her, memories. You wouldn't give them up for the world if only you could remember what they are. They're there. You definitely gained them. But to attempt to gain purchase on them, to attempt to make their evaluation, is to feel your thoughts slide slippery away in a shower of sublime unconcern. You are continuing, or you were continuing to follow, before the trap. Traps. Magical. Just a little circle on the ground, that's right. You're standing right on it, standing right in it. There's one thing you know you're not supposed to do when you're inside a magical trap. You just can't quite remember. You feel warm fur along your shoulders, your arms. Oh, lovely, this forest was causing troubles for you, as cold as it was. A tingling spreads onto your scalp, warm, constant. You feel something falling down your back, longer, bristly. Hair? A mane? Why did you think mane? Oh, right. The main thing you have to do when you've stepped into a trap diagram is get out of it. You eventually do jump out, hearing the click of your hooves on the path as you land nimbly. You shiver through your shoulders, powerful muscles pumping, happy with your own prowess, knowing you could dance along, gamble along, and you do, clicking on your hooves, moving in a circle, enjoying. All right. There she is, still drifting in the distance, getting further away. Time to carry on. Time to follow. Track. Chase. The idea of chasing something appeals to you. You get the sense you would once have looked from side to side, but you focus on the path ahead of you. In the distance, floating, the gorgeous, ephemeral woman. It's not a chase, it's a race, to test yourself warmly against another. You toss your mane, your muscles steaming in the cool air. The stream and flow, the running trail, the path ahead so straight and clear. Surely you can catch her now, with your hooves pumping and your powerful muscles carrying you along. You exult, exhort, let out a sound, a braying high sound. You're following, following. Following and carrying your backpack with its equipment and its herbs, but you think less of them and more just of the movement, carrying burdens but running free, the pat of your hooves, the simplicity of your body in action, the ease of following through on motions well laid in your muscles, your long ears laying flat to your head as you move and move. Follow, carrying a nice burden, pleasantly bearing it, your body vital, your body warm. Moving easily in pursuit. Ha! You're catching up to her, much faster than before. Your movement along is simple and easy. Your hooves, your strong pumping leg muscles, the strength that comes of feeling the fatigue, but knowing you have vast reserves beyond this. You could go and go and keep going and never stop and oh! A warm wave crosses over you. You feel your long ears droop, your muzzle dopey and open. A simple wave, a smile. Wonderful. Washing over you. It's lovely out here in the woods. Ever so lovely. The trees are lovely. The needle-toothed figure in the silvery gown floating far ahead of you, her tendrils waving in the lack of light. She is lovely. Everything about this is lovely, and you would love if it continued forever. Standing still, pacified, placidified, empty mind. You consider leaving and see. There are so many more symbols along the path. The figure isn't being stopped by them, but you were. That makes sense if she put them there, but why struggle, why fight? If only she were leading you somewhere nice, a stable, a stall, a static location where you could glazedly, dazedly graze and be groomed and massaged, curried and prepared. Your body feels heavy, warm, compliant, pliable. Why struggle? Why the struggling? Some bit of you places its flag up, your tail swishing to and fro. Oh, you should step out of this pretty circle of silver-black dust. This trap? But is it a trap? You try extending one hoof, and you see you can easily step out of it. You giggle, yee-haw, a braying sound different from your usual. It's still nice, it's still cute, you're a cute pet. And look, you could step out of the circle if you wanted to, and that means you don't have to, because a trap is something you can't get out of, and obviously you could get out of it, so obviously you don't have to, because obviously it's not a trap. Those words all sound a little brighter and smarter than your current thought process, but you're willing to accept it. It gives you a sense of belonging to stay where you're at. Cute pets should belong to someone. They should belong somewhere. If you belong to someone, this easy, steady movement would be your fate every day. Oh, finally something that makes you consider leaving the circle. She's getting further and further away. Maybe you should run after. Maybe you should follow. Yes, being close to that nice lady with the shiny black eyes and the sharp, sharp teeth, that's a good reason to give chase. You want to be close to her. You want to be close to anything that looks like it might own a happy pet. You want something deeper, warmer. Your muscles pump. You step out of the circle. You move so easily. It's different from before. Now you're aware of the fatigue, of your powerful thighs pumping, of your hooves clattering on the stones occasionally interspersed across the path. But you also know you could go for a long time. You know you have wells of endurance that run deep, that the pleasant burn in your muscles is a reward rather than a hindrance. Striding on and on, moving on and on and through. You have the choice of when to stop, the burn of fatigue, the heat in your muscles. It began early, but you started too late. Your vision is narrowed and locked ahead, never looking left or right. You no longer see the silvery lady. She's faded out of sight. You consider stopping, but why stop? The path goes on and ever on. Your tail swishes the back of your legs. The backpack you're wearing appears to be the only item of clothing which survived the traps, but your body's fur still keeps you nice and warm. The hairs on your hide, comforting, encapsulating. You could stop, but why stop? Where is there to stop? The lady isn't visible anymore. Oh, you see, a cottage. A bray, an excited hee-haw escapes you, not caring what in the woods you might alert. The clip-clop of your hooves can alert anything at all. You'll be fast enough, body pumping and proceeding through the wood, fast enough to outrun it. The shadows from the branches fall across light, light provided only by the curse marks, the traps, the source of the wonderful muscular burn you feel as you stride ahead. You avoid them of oh, this one looks kind of pretty. It's between you and the cottage. You might as well step into, oh, it's between you and the cottage. You know one more will be enough. You know one more will be too much. One more trap will cement the changes. Three is an important number. Two is already so potent, already so much. That looks nice. That looks nice. That looks familiar. You could be a familiar. Familiar, but never before witnessed. Oh, the door is open. And there, at last, someone to serve, someone whose pet you can be. This sense arrives suddenly, potently, standing in the door. Short but muscled is a woman in a black silk robe. She has little tusks, rounded, handsome features. Her hands are calloused. She holds a shimmering silver wand in one hand, but puts it aside when she sees you. And you want her. You inhale the scent of cinnamon and lime, of mushroom and leaf mold. The cottage is clean and strange and home all into one. To see her is to want her. Your powerful senses, your muscles working, you stand glistening and bare in that moonless place, the light of her magical lanterns the only thing picking you out. You are going to go inside. You have always been destined to go inside. You know there is no choice, and she confirms that. You're not who I expected to see. You might as well come in, then. Of course you comply. Right inside the squat, broad building, with its racks of herbs hanging from the ceiling, with its magical instruments on every table, with its huge low bed with cats looking at you from numerous corners. Right inside. You pause, of course waiting to be directed to your place. You can come in as well, says the moonless witch. You smile vaguely, not knowing or caring who she's talking about or to. Your hooves feel strange on the floor of the cottage, and when she takes your backpack off you and puts it aside, you say nothing, do nothing, as your protective charms are stripped from you. You think once you might have. You wonder how much those charms protected you, kept it from being one trap alone being enough to change you before you got anywhere near here. Those traps were sublime. A hiss from behind you. You don't turn your head, but the hand on your shoulder guides you further into the cottage, and so you obey. You wonder if you should get on hands and knees. That would be normal. Hooves and hooves, rather. That would be right. No, you wait. you wait to be told what to do, where to go, how to be. Quietly, you bray a little hee-haw, more a passive noise than anything else, but it makes your eyes glaze with pleasure and your body throb to exult in the correct way, in the right way. And you do, on and on, enjoying moment by moment, enjoying just being where and who and with as you are. A tendril wraps down around your shoulder, tentacles spreading in the room, covering the surfaces nearest the door. They are green and glistening. You shiver at the venom of their touch. It feels amazing. One clawed hand runs through your mane, explores the hair of your body, presses you forward, and you do lean forward across a small table that was at waist height just inside the door. It is very sturdy and conveniently bare. Thrills in your skin across your flesh, being handled, being positioned. Your braying continues, and both women chuckle to themselves at your cute display, wondering precisely what they're going to do to you as you're pulled by your mane, one claw curling under your chin. You wait, waiting, throbbing. The creature behind you begins to speak, just as the muscled orc woman in front of you raises her dress, pauses, thinks for a moment, and throws it off entirely. From your face-down position laid across the table, you can look up enough to see that she's very curvy. Though her form is very muscled, you got the impression before, but you can now see definition in her arms and legs, her tightly muscled abdomen, and you see her length dangling in front of you, her pussy behind it, dripping, and in front of it, above it, faintly green like the rest of her skin, a thickly veined cock, right in front of you, standing up. You can see her curvy hips and her huge breasts brought into sight. But in front of you, her length hangs right in front of your eyes. The scent you detected before magnifies. But she doesn't let you near it, even though you're extending your tongue, desperately welcoming her into your muzzle, lashing your tail, moving to and fro, wiggling your hips. Instead, she takes each of your arms, legs, hooves, and positions them on the table through little slots that let you stand on all fours, despite being slightly off the ground. Perfect up and down, aimed legs and arms. Accidentally, or perhaps on purpose, the table leaves your mouth and ass exposed, and is shaped such that someone can stand right against you. Perfect, because she then pushes her cock against your face, letting you inhale directly. Stars. Heat. Sparks. The two women have a conversation over top of you, as hands with very careful claws begin to grope your butt and flanks. "I was surprised you asked me inside," hisses the creature who is holding, no, handling you. Holding suggests she's having to prevent you from struggling, but you are more than happy to just go with the flow where you're commanded to go. Physical positioning is even better. It's simple. It's direct. You are just where you should be. Sweat stands out on your skin as you begin to shiver in arousal. "I must ask," says the woman behind you. How are your traps so good, my dear, now that we're on speaking terms again? Looking at those traps, I was almost tempted to fly into them, and only feeding this creature to them allowed me to pass. "My magic is communication," says the witch, slapping her cock against your cheek and then rubbing it over your lips, leaving the impression of her shining fluids, like lip gloss. "I am a storyteller," says the witch, sliding one finger in the corner of your mouth and causing it to open, bringing you to drool out your muzzle. The witch moans, because then your tongue finally does find its way onto that musky shaft, the cinnamon sneaking into your mind, her obviously enchanted pheromones doing their job so easily, making every act of worshipful attention more pleasurable than it already would be. She keeps explaining between moans, while the bulbous head of her cock slides into your mouth, and she begins to fuck your throat, which you find very easy, the tip sliding deep into your muzzle, you sucking and slurping. It's like you're made for this. She gestures at the table, allowing it to slide downward, moving closer to the floor, and all four of your hooves touch down. "A curse is just a story," oh, explains the witch between moans provoked by your tongue. "Maybe you'd have fun," she says, addressing this to the mind stranger behind you. "Maybe you'd have fun as an ass in my service. Just another piece of ass, isn't it tempting?" grunts the orc witch, chuckling at her own pun as you lavish attention on her cock, loving every inch of it, and she barely manages to maintain enough focus to keep explaining. You manage to push your tongue past, it seems longer now, and lick at the lips of her pussy. At the base of the shaft, she grunts, and you feel a trail of pre-cum ooze from the tip and onto your tongue. You swallow eagerly. Still, just one set of traps, and no thanks. I think I'd rather take this ass than be one, says the creature behind you, who is slowly winding one vine underneath you, wrapping it around you like an artful harness that pulls at your shoulders, at your abdomen, at your butt, and makes everything just feel tight and on display. You feel more like a display piece with those vines wrapped around you than you did without them. They're also giving you plenty to grind against while you're used as a set of holes between the two, because you feel a vine slap your ass. It's every bit as thick as the cock you're sucking on, and it's slowly circling your rear entrance. The witch keeps explaining, groaning, bucking, leaking constantly now that you're licking at her. There wasn't one set of traps, there were a dozen, and the ones most suited to any given individual are shown to them. I guess you make a good beast of burden, too, if you could see these ones. The creature behind you laughs. I could see different ones, but I was able to float in the middle and not touch anything. You make them visible to the right person, not invisible? That's where you always went wrong, groans the orc as you keep sucking. Start bobbing your mouth on and off, your muzzle on and off. The creature behind you spreads your ass cheeks, the tip of that one vine beginning to circle, drooling a glorious substance, then massaging it in with heat, with need, and then a spreading relaxation which floods up from your lower body and commands you, ordering you, the pure essence of the thing. Your ass feels so comfortable, relaxed, easy to surrender to the vine she's now filling you with, which is still spurting the same stuff, lubing your insides, making them heated, warm, also making bits inside of your ass involuntarily convulse around it. When they can see the trap, it can tempt them with its promise. Honest communication is far more effective than trickery. I'll have to agree to disagree there, says the vine-wielding creature, corkscrewing the spurting appendage inside your ass left and right, to and fro, and setting your eyes rolling as you deliberately push yourself further onto the witch's cock, licking one of her pussy lips you can reach at the base as the length in your mouth begins to dribble so constantly it might as well be a faucet. Onto your tongue, you swallow, you take it all down, take it all in. It is delicious, she is delicious, and she is slowly twining one hand in your mane, directing you, guiding you, as you scrape your hooves on the floor, squeezing, clenching, pleasure as your ass clenches down and then asks for more, begs for more, your hips move in a way that begs for more. And the creature behind you seems more than happy to oblige, because there are other places its vines may play. The vines slide between your legs, finding your dripping slit. Of course you're aroused. The one spurting that fluid into your ass has been arousing you with a chemical aphrodisiac response. As she lurks over you from behind, watching you, raking her claws very lightly through your fur, down your back. Well, they don't seem inclined to go back, says the witch in front of you, so I'll keep them until the curse mostly wears off, then see if they want to be one of my little toys. The witch gestures off toward one of the cats in the corner, and you hear a rustling sound. Yes, mistress, comes a servile but cheerful voice, edged with mischief. Nothing, Vicky. I was just indicating that you might have a new companion here. I could use another familiar. An equine? Why would you make anything but a cat, mistress? Oof. There's the sound of magic sliding through the air, and then groaning, moaning, and panting from the corner the cat was standing in. The familiar is doubled over, one hand between her legs, her ears low to her head, her tail hanging low as well. Pretty young woman just moaning as every heated instinct awakens, as the witch punishes her familiar with pleasure. I need someone with stamina, says the witch to the cat. And you just can't hold up. One good climax and you're gone. Look, you're close to passing out already. And it's true. The cat standing in the corner is clenching her pussy around her fingers, climaxing, falling, eyes shut tight, trying to keep herself together. You're in much the same place, really. Also, Leslie, this is from the witch, directed to the figure behind you, who's still twining a vine into your ass over and over again. Yes, asks the fanged wild creature that you followed here. Now you know her name. I can feel your mark on this one, says the witch, and it won't matter. Who, me? I just put that there so I can fuck them from time to time. I haven't come as hard as this in ages. It's gonna be good. You wonder what she means by coming, and then you feel it. The vine lodged in your ass, slowly spreading. Slowly expanding. Something originating in their body. Something originating back in the tip of the vine. Oh, it's forcing its way in, pushing its way in, spreading you very wide. You clench around it, feeling it slide in. It's more of that thick fluid from before, more of the stuff that was arousing you, but thicker still. And indeed, Leslie behind you is moaning, arching her body, rubbing against you, raking her claws more firmly, is twining the vine into your pussy deeper as she squirts into your ass from your clenching stimulation. All of you encapsulated, all of you filled with it, because you are sucking on the witch in front of you more eagerly. I guess I can share, says the figure whose length you are lavishing. But put that garden back where you found it. No stealing. The students are foolish enough to leave it there, and I can steal plants regularly if I'm careful. Fine, fine, says the creature behind you, both vines pissing in and out, double time and double teaming. Anytime we get in a fight, we can just crack open one of my familiars, says the witch. Put them on this table and use them. Oh, just like this, you know, when you thrust, the throat clamps down tight. It's lovely. You're doping them so nicely. This hole is relaxed and easy. I can really fuck hard. And she does, vines moving in and out, both of your holes being filled, emptied, filled, emptied. The scent of the witch in front of you, the taste of her in your mouth, taking your thoughts away, your mouth and throat slicked with the warm stuff, your mind leaking out between your legs, dripping from your pussy as you suck one cock and are filled with vines in the back. You think it's the vine moving in and out of you, slicked with the same warm stuff that's making it easy to relax both your ass and your throat. You adore it. Dosed and doped as you are, lost on pheromones and the mysterious lube that's making you so able to take those thick vines inside, you adore it. Then the figure behind you leans over. One fang slips inside, sinking into your shoulder. Your entire body rolls, your mind lost and tumbling. The glory of being her plaything, of being their toy, it is not lost on you. It is a splendid thing to be lost in them, gone on this feeling which doesn't really ever end, just on and on and on, the two of you. You want to come, the cock in your mouth sliding in, your pussy dribbling, filled in both holes, loving it. But climax won't happen, not from your ass being fucked, not from your pussy being tormented, its most sensitive spots penetratively pressed on again and again. Your pussy's dripping so hard, your juice is thick, drooling onto the floor over and over, your clit quite firm. Want to come, you're leaving a sticky patch on the floor below, losing yourself in how it feels, the sweated, gasping heat. Let us come. It's a plea from Leslie behind you, the creature sliding vines inside till they seem to go as deep as they can, the moaning goddess of the forest whose claws dig into your thigh as she bottoms out, cock throbbing inside, pushing inside, your mouth filled, your pussy, your ass flooded. You desperately lavish more attention, deep-throating the hot, hard piggy witch's cock as she too bottoms out, moans, and squirts. It's a salty flood across your tongue, taking your senses with it, taking you for a ride. Whatever gorgeous material is in her scent, it's even thicker in her fluids. You love it. You melt in waves of her. You surrender. Your pussy grows wetter by the moment. Impossibly, unspeakably firm clit, your lips slightly spread to welcome that vine before it even did thrust inside, and you dribble on the floor. You're squirting, finally, but it's just the pressure of her going in and out, filling and emptying you as you climax, helpless, climactic, your body full of her, squeezing on the vines, full of cock, squeezing your throat, swallowing around it. You moan, the dick in your mouth long, thick, your pussy dribbling. You're lost in the way it feels. The witch reaches underneath and plays with your nipples. Leslie squirts again. The moonlit witch squirts and squirts as you empty her, the scent of her cunt in your bias filling your mind when her climax arrives, impossibly potent, tighter and tighter inside your body as you push forward and back, trying desperately to take the vines deeper inside, to fuck back against Leslie and let her take you. You squirt, you climax, your body clenches down tight enough that the vine inside really makes you propel your fluids around it, coming, your insides clenching deep inside, deep, deep within you, pushing pressure, pleasure outward. You want fingers, you want vines, you want the witch's cock in you, long, hot waves of everything. You seek with your tongue, incessant, questant, searching, desperate. Every drop of the witch's seed must be consumed, so you swallow warm, salty, mind-numbing joy deep into you that fills your belly with euphoric butterflies. Need, mesmerized gracelessness, you are a squirming mess. Your mind is vanishing into heat, exhaustion, need, all for... Why are you doing this? Good donkey, that'll do, she says, and you feel her hand touch between your long ears, which flatten in response. Oh, your eyes lid, your mouth open, still wrapped around her cock, of course, but when she said that, oh, she slips free, and you feel her softening member slide out. You offer no resistance. How could you resist? Heat and sparks fly through your body from her hand, which touches you. Good, she called you good, you're good, so good, euphoric, she's making space for you, in the guest house, she says, she'll keep you, she says, use you to relieve her need, the cats really do get exhausted so easily, yes, yes, you're so lucky, her thickness, the firm inches of her veined cock, the smell of her ingrained in you, resting your head on her muscled thigh, worshipping at her length, these thoughts and more than these creep into your mind and leave you lost in her, lost in the vortex of her, her scent, her taste. But though she is done, the creature behind you keeps thrusting the vines in and out, every sign of vast pleasure filling the air as you moan your mind out. Helplessly, her long pleasure-dispensing member sliding in and out of you as long as she pleases, you crest another impossible wave of pleasure. The waking world is frail and vanishing, with the dreamlike cock-sleeve reverie taking you. You're alive and well in this pleasure. When she slides out of your pussy, out of your ass, as long as she pleases, in and out, but she slides out, you lose your last tether to consciousness, and with it, all resistance to the idea, to the very concept of a fate other than being fucked silly, being taken and claimed. But the end of consciousness is not the end of them taking care of you, just in a different way this time. You feel your sweated body caked in everyone's fluids, being slowly washed and tended to. From the way you can hear Leslie and the witch discussing things nearby, you think it's probably the familiars who are taking care of you, as your body is massaged. Your every muscle, sore from running on the path, is being gently tended to as well. Deep tissue massage, you feel the heat radiating from where they press their palms. You feel gentle, warm water being brushed over you and a brush to follow it as your mane, your fur are tended to, your hooves are cleaned. You are given water and you swallow, swallow, your mind flashing back to swallowing around the witch's cock, of course, craving, craving for more. And you do feel vines slide in and torment your ass, presumably when the goddess of the forest is on her way out. Eventually, left alone with the familiars and the witch, you are lifted bodily, and you know this one is the witch because you smell the cinnamon, the lime, the scent of her musk, the sexual fluids you swallowed earlier, everything mingling to take your brain over. You know it's her who lifts you bodily, carries you, There's the vague sense of being out of doors, being settled into your bed, of her running fingers along your pussy lips as she lays you on your side and makes sure that your tail is perfectly pushed down under the blankets, that all of you is covered nicely and that nothing is sticking out. And then with that done, she scratches you, rubbing behind your ears, and says it again. Good donkey. That was good. Good night.